We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
As Pastor Chad mentioned, the video, he's currently in Bulgaria. You guys may have seen him on social media preaching the word of God. He actually sent me a picture yesterday in one of the villages that he was at. And it was just kids on the streets just sitting there, you know, shoeless and without a shirt, no clothes really, and just sitting there with no hope, you know. And it broke my heart. But I believe that God has called us to be that light in this broken world, amen. And I'm just so happy that we get to be a part of it through Metro Church. We get to send our pastor out there so that he can continue to preach the word of God and just shine a light where there is darkness, amen. That's what we're called to do, amen. I'm so thankful for that. So I just want to pray for Pastor Chad before we get started. So come on, church, let's encourage Pastor Chad. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in Metro Church, God, and what you're doing through Metro Church. Father, we pray right now, God, in the name of Jesus, believing that you're going to continue to use this church and this home, God, to expand the knowledge of Jesus Christ, God. Continue to use us, God, and we will go, Father. Send us, and we will go, God, whatever it is that we need to do, Father. In this moment, we just pray for Pastor Chad. We cover him with your blood, Father, and believe right now that you're going to use him. Speak through him, Jesus. Give him the words, the wisdom that he needs, Father, the strength to be up there with confidence, Lord, knowing that you have called them for such a time as this, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment that we get to be together. God, speak to us, Lord, in every area of our lives. God, you know us better than we know ourselves, God. We thank you because your word is alive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on. Amen. 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 It's so good to be together, church. I'm excited. You guys ready for the word? All right. All right. All right. You guys, if you have your Bible, which I hope you do because you are in church. If you don't, I am judging you. Just kidding. I'm not. Don't worry. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Some of you guys may have known this story already. Maybe you've heard it before. Maybe you haven't heard it before. But this is a story of the woman with the issue of blood. Yes, it's really graphic, okay? Like I'm not talking about she had a cut on her arm. I'm talking about a woman, a female issue of blood, if you know what I'm saying. So in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says this. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said this, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Amen. Amen. I'm excited for this word. I'm really excited because I feel that there are people here who need this today. And if you don't need this today, you need this today. If you feel in your heart that you're here and you're like, this is not a message for me, Pastor Marco, well, it is. And it's just areas, maybe you feel right now that you don't need this right now. Let me tell you, take the word with you because you will need it one day. We don't realize that. Sometimes Pastor Chad tells us, take notes because one day you're going to go back and you'll be going through a hard time. You're going to look back and say, I needed that word and I needed it now. Amen. So look at the person next to you real quick and I want you to don't scream. Just softly with a nice tone, a nice strong tone, say my title to them. Say, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Come on, a little bit stronger than that. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Amen. Amen, amen. Y'all having conversations on the side. Now I said just one title, people. How bad do you want it? So if you see me up here and I'm limping a little bit, or maybe you see that I'm, you know, walking a little weird, it's because yesterday I put my life on the line. I'm being serious, guys. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about because you follow us on social media or you were there with me. Yesterday, and how many people here know about the obstacle courses, like the obstacle race and that kind of stuff? There's this one called the Tough Mudder. Now, if you know what the Tough Mudder is, God bless you, and I feel for you. Because the Tough Mudder is not an easy thing. Now, I didn't know this going into it. I thought, well, it looks cool. It looks fun. It looks like something where you get to, you know, kind of exercise and show off to the people what you really got. Right? And, yeah, right. That's what I thought, at least. We get to the Tough Mudder, and of course, it's intense. I'm already shaking. I'm nervous. I'm sweating. And I wasn't prepared for what was to come. Right? there's a lot of running. There's a lot of strength stuff that you need to do. I mean, you're in the mud. When I'm talking about in the mud, some of you guys are like, ah, you get your feet wet. No. You dive in the mud. Like, you're swimming in mud. It's disgusting. Because think about it. Like, 400 people went before you. So, great. Right? That's awesome. That's just sweat and mud. Awesome. So, you know, I get there. And at first, I'm like, oh, this is not that bad. You know, I'm jogging. I'm doing my thing. And then... You start doing some of the obstacles. I'm like, okay, I got it. You know, I can put myself over this thing, and I'm running. But then eventually, you know, we get to this point where somebody says, yeah, we're on mile two. And I'm like, we've been going for almost an hour now, and it's 5 miles. I'm like, what do you mean mile two? I thought we were almost finished, but no, we're on mile two. I was like, okay, let's keep it pushing, keep moving. And I'm telling you, it got to a point where I was crawling up this hill, getting my nails dirty, everything. You guys are like, your nails dirty. Yes, I care about my nails, all right? Is that okay? But I'm in there, you know, and I'm crawling. I'm doing what I can do. But it got to a point where it was more of a mental game rather than a physical game. You know what I'm talking about? If we got any runners here, you know what I'm talking about. Because you run for a long distance, and all of a sudden your legs give out, but your mind doesn't give up. And you just keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. So I felt like I was honestly in, like, a spiritual warfare at that point. Like, I got to get through this. I got to do this just because I know that I paid the money, amen. Like, I'm not going to waste this money. I got to get my money's worth, but also because I want to finish it. I want to get to the end. And I told myself, I remember when I was crawling and I kept slipping and I was like, I'm honestly going to get stuck here, but I'm thinking to my head, I got to fight for it. I got to fight for this. You know, and when I read this scripture, it just reminds me that this woman is a fighter. Amen. This woman is a fighter. And I'm excited because I believe that this woman, we can learn so much from her life. We can learn so much from this one event. She had to push through the crowd. Do you know what I'm talking about? When Jesus was walking around villages, multitudes followed him. Why? Because they knew the things that he had done. They knew the miracles that he was doing while he was going by. So they said, I need a miracle. I'm going to go to Jesus. So it was thousands of people that used to surround Jesus. So we see this woman who has this issue that she's been dealing with for 12 years. Now, in the time and in the context of the time and society that this woman lived in, her disease, her sickness, what made her legally unclean. Legally unclean. So she was not supposed to be around anybody. In fact, she wasn't supposed to be touching anybody. Nonetheless, the Messiah. But yet we see that she pushes through the crowd and she gets to Jesus. She touches Jesus and she's healed. That woman was a fighter. She was a fighter. And I tell you this today, church, and I'm going to be very honest. This is going to be a really honest message. Is that okay with you guys? It's going to be a very honest message. Why? Because I don't hold back, and I don't think Jesus asked me to hold back. There's grace, but then there's also truth. Amen? There's grace and there's truth. I'll give you enough grace. Now we're going to get to the truth. So I think we got a lot of lazy Christians in the church. I think we got a lot of lazy Christians, a lot of casual Christians in the church, in the global church. Why do I say that? Because I believe there's a lot of people nowadays that are just fine with living the way that they're living. They're fine with the struggles that they're going through. They're fine. They've accepted those things. They said, hey, you know what? It is what it is. I hear that all the time. It is what it is. And I tell them, it's not what it is because God didn't want you to live like that. You know, but the fact is this, we have a lot of Christians just going through life like it's not a big deal. It is what it is. It just is what it is. But this message, guys, I need you guys to look within yourself because this is for real people. This is for people who understand that they are broken. This is for people who understand that they need God. People who understand that they have issues. Come on, I got issues. I'll be the first one to admit it. I got issues. And I pray and hope that you understand that Metro Church is a church led by people who have issues that understand they need a bigger power than themselves. Amen. Come on, you can give it up to God. But let me ask you this. So why don't we fight for our miracles? Why don't we fight for the things that God has called us to overcome? Why don't we fight for these things? A couple of things come to mind, but the first one is the fact that we ignore the problem, right? We ignore the problem. We say, hey, you know what? I know that it's there, but I don't really care for it. It is what it is. Like, I'm just going to look the other way. I'm going to act like it's not even there. We ignore the problem. And the other one is that we accept it and we let it define us. Well, you know what? I know I got an alcohol problem, but you know what? My dad was like that. My uncle was like that. I'm going to be like that. Probably my kids are going to be like that. It is what it is. It is what it is. You know what? My dad was unfaithful, so therefore I'm going to be unfaithful. You know what? My mom did this, therefore I'm going to do this. You know what? I grew up the way that I grew up, Pastor Marco. I don't know what to tell you. You don't understand my background. I don't understand your background. You're right, but I know that God does not define you based on your background. He defines you based on your future. He doesn't call you based on where you've been. He calls you based on where you're heading. Amen. So people say, well, I've accepted it. I've allowed it to define me. And the other one is this. And this, I believe, it's the worst one. We think we got it under control. We say it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, right? It's really not a big deal. I know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. And you guys are looking up here, and I see this little rug here, and I got a broom here as well, okay, because I do illustrations. I'm a youth pastor, amen? And, you know, I want to tell you guys something, because I think a lot of times we go through these struggles, and we say this: it's not a big deal. It is what it is. I can just put it aside. It's, you know what? I have it under control. I have it under control. So I have this broom here, of course, this rug, and I'm going to be very literal with you guys today, okay? Let's assume that's trash. There's trash on the ground. And here's a rug. Have you ever heard the saying, sweep things under the rug? I'm sure you have. So I'm just going to say, hey, you know what? It's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal at all. You know, I'm just going to put it away. And it doesn't really matter that much, because it's not affecting my life in other areas. This alcohol issue is not affecting my life in other areas. It's just one beer, right? But then it turns into two beers a day, and then it turns into three beers a day, and then it turns into something that you have to run to when you're struggling, when you feel pain, right? But it's not a big deal. It's just one website. It's not a big deal. I just go to it once a week. It's really not a big deal, right? But we keep sweeping things under the rug. And Wesley, come up here for a second, because sometimes, let me tell you this, you surround and get around people who are just yes men. Can you lift that for me, Wesley? Yes. There you go. And we say, well, he's just agreeing with me, right? Because Wesley, I'm struggling with this thing. Hey, and you tell me it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, right? So I should just keep hiding these things and just putting these things under the rug because it's not a big deal. You do it, therefore I can do it too, right? You can put that down. You do it, therefore I can do it too. But we don't realize this, church. The more that we hide the things under the rug, the moment we walk by them, we begin to trip over them. And we begin to wonder, God, where were you when I tripped over that thing? God said, I asked you to stop doing that. I asked you to deal with that, but you didn't want to deal with it. You just wanted to put it under the rug. Why? Because it's not a big deal. Seeing that, hey, it's just a conversation at work. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, but weeks go by and you begin to talk to that woman. You begin to talk to that guy a little bit more. Years go by. You don't realize you've lost your marriage. You've lost your kids. You've lost it all. Why? Because it was just one conversation. That's the biggest lie of the devil. It's not a big deal. Hey, don't worry about it. Everybody's doing it, so why can't you do it? The world does it, so why can't you do it? And the more we realize, because we have people that agree with us, right? Oh, Lord. Pastor says, seek counsel. Who are you seeking counsel from? Because I'll go to my buddies, right? That I hang out at the bar all the time. Hey, it's not a big deal that I'm here, right, on a Tuesday night. It's not a big deal that I'm here on, like, a Tuesday morning. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. He's still agreeing with me, right? It's not a big deal. So I'm just going to keep hiding things under the rug. Little did I know, before I started tripping, then I started falling. And then I couldn't get back up. Come on, give it up for Wesley. That's the biggest lie that the devil will tell you. It's not a big deal. But I'm here to remind somebody that God did not speak those things over you. God did not declare those things over your life. He didn't say you're going to be an alcoholic. He didn't say you're going to fail in your marriage. He didn't say you're going to be from job to job to job. He didn't speak those things over you. So why are you doing it to yourself? You see, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this. The thief's purpose, the enemy's purpose, is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, God's purpose, is to give you a rich and a satisfying life. He wants to give you a good life. So why are you settling for less? Why are you settling for less? God wants to free you from the things that may have a stronghold over your life. Amen, church? Here we go. We're going to get into these points. I just got four quick things I want you to ask yourself. Four things that I think will challenge you. And I mean this. I need you guys to, if you're taking notes, take these down. When you go back home, I need you to ask these things to yourself. Ask the person that you love most to say what they think these things are. Number one, am I surrendered? Am I surrendered? In verse 25, when we go back to the story, it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and has suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She just kept getting worse. She had tried it all. She had spent all of her money. She'd done it all on her own. Have you ever been there, church, where you feel like, I did all that I could do? I exhausted all my resources. I spent so much money on this thing. You don't understand, Pastor Marco. I did all that I could do. See, she had to come to the end of herself so she could find her way to Jesus. She had to come to the end of herself. This is where pride comes in. This is where the issue of pride comes in, because we say, I can handle it. It's not a big deal. I can do this on my own. I don't need no God. I don't need no Jesus. I can do this on my own because I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I went to school. I have all these degrees. You don't understand. I got it. That's what we say, at least. You know, I personally, I'm very into fitness, okay? And I love going to the gym. One of the things I remember back when I was in high school, anybody here bench press, you know what bench pressing is? When you lay your back and you're literally just pushing weight from your chest. It's a chest workout. Whatever. Bottom line is this. I was doing a bench press exercise, and a lot of times when you're doing a lot of weight, there's something called a spotter. You guys know what a spotter is? A spotter is somebody who comes behind you and he kind of holds the weight just below the bar so that in case you drop it, you don't die. That's pretty much what it is. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to max out today. I'm going to go the max weight that I can do. And I remember I was sitting there, and there was someone that I knew just across the room. But I was like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Right? So I'm like, I got this. I know that I can do this way. So I grabbed the bar, and I remember I pushed it off. I ate that humble pie so quick. I said, I don't have this. I think smacked my chest so hard. I remember I was like, oh, this is it. This is my day. My day has come. It smacked my chest so hard, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm making no sound because I'm like, I can probably still do this. In my mind, I'm still thinking, I got 185 pounds across my chest. I can still do this. Just remember, I'm 16 years old, guys, okay? Some of you guys are judging me like, 185 pounds, like what? I have this weight across my chest, and I still think I got it. And all of a sudden, this guy comes across, and he lifts the weight, and I'm like, that was not that easy, boy. Why are you making it look so easy? But I think back to myself at that point, I just had so much pride. I was like, I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody. I can push this weight on my own. And then before we know it, the weight smacks us in the chest, and it takes our breath away. And we wonder, God, where were you? And God said, you didn't even call out for me. You thought you could do it on your own, big man. So where are you now? Hello. Come on, church. I told you it was going to be a real message. I told you it was going to get real. And let me tell you this. There's a difference between giving up and surrendering. There's a difference between, because giving up means it will never change. It will never change. Surrendering means I've done all that I can, and I will continue to do what I can, but I'm going to allow God to do what only He can do. That's what surrendering means, because some of you guys have such a hard time surrendering because you think, I'm strong, I can still do this, I want to help. God wants you to help. Yeah. Believe me. But let me tell you this, you have to surrender your ways and let Him do it in His ways. Amen? Yeah. God wants us to surrender our ways and methods. He knows exactly what you are going through. Psalms 34, verse 18, it says this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed, or whose chests are crushed. Amen. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. God wants to rescue you, but you have to let Him in. So this goes into my next point, my next question for you guys. You got to ask this to yourself. Am I reaching? Am I reaching? In verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. You see, sometimes, I'll be very real with you guys, sometimes we take grace for granted. We take grace for granted. We think, God will come through. He's going to do what only He can do. I'm just going to relax and sit back. I don't need to pray. I don't need to worship. I don't need to, because God knows what I'm going. I'm just going to not do anything. I'm just going to let Him do what He can do, and I'm just going to chill. And you know what? I know I'm looking for a job, but I don't need to apply. It will fall on my lap. It's just going to come, right? We read stories like this in the Bible, and we reference these stories. And believe me, can we stop taking the Bible out of context, please? If you guys have a Twitter account, can you stop tweeting out one-liners and not putting in the whole scripture, the whole chapter? Because I'm sick and tired of people just saying these things so they can connect with their own opinion, but not connect with God's heart. All right, here we go. Pastor Chad, come rescue me. But we read stories about the men in the Pool of Bethesda, right? And this man, it says that this man was lame, and there was this pool in Bethesda that an angel would come, and he would stir up the waters, and every time that he would come, the first person to get in the pool would be healed of their sickness. So this man would lay, or he would sit by the pool, and every time he'd try to go, someone would get there before him. Why? Because he was lame. He couldn't do it on his own. So it says that Jesus walked up to him, and he said, "Do you want to be made well?" What a question, Jesus. He's been sick for 30-something years. Yeah, do I want to be made well? Yes, I do. And he was healed instantly. And we read stories like that, and we say, I can just sit around by the pool as well. But you're not lame. But I can just sit around by the pool. It's not a big deal, you know, because Jesus is going to come through. We read stories like that, and we forget that God has called us to cry out to him. It says in Psalms chapter 34, verse 7, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Do you understand this, church? When we read about the story of Peter and Jesus walking on water, when Jesus calls them out of the boat, there's a storm happening, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? It says that there was a storm and there was a boat and the disciples were in the boat and the boat was about to sink and Jesus just comes in looking like a ghost on the water, walking on water. He calls Peter out of the boat. But before he calls Peter out of the boat, there's a scripture that tells us that Jesus was about to walk by them. He was going to walk by them. But then the next sentence is so important because it says that he heard their cry and he came for them. Oh, my goodness. Some of you guys have been struggling for so long and you're not crying out to God and you're wondering where God is. God is walking right around you. He's just waiting for you to cry out. He's just waiting for you to ask, God, I need you. I give up. I surrender to you, Jesus. I've done all that I can and I'm going to continue to do it. But God, you do what only you can do. He's waiting for you to cry out. You know, I was telling you guys, I did the Tough Mudder yesterday, and yes, I am hurting. But, you know, one of the obstacles that we saw was, it was called the Everest. The Everest. I think we have a picture of the Everest somewhere up there. That's the Everest. Y'all thought I was kidding. That's the Everest. And it's pretty intimidating when you're facing, when you're kind of in front of it, and you're looking up, and you're like, I'm like 5'9". Like, I don't think I can get up there. You know, but you have people at the top that are kind of reaching down and trying to pull you up when you can go as far as you can go. They just kind of grab you by the arms. And well, I was up, and you can keep this up. I was up at the top. I got through the Everest, and someone helped me up. And I was up there, and I was stretching down. And we had a couple of revolvers with us for the group. And one of them was Haley Tomlin, one of the best revolvers that we have. And she was amazing. But, you know, she was trying to get up the Everest. And she just kept running up, and she was coming like a foot too short, then half a foot too short. And every time she would fall, she would just, you know, kind of pep talk herself a little bit, and she'd go up again. And there was this one time where she got so close, and I held her, and she just slipped right through my hands. And I remember I looked at my wife, Pastor Jordan, who was on the side, and I said, can you go talk to her? Because I knew she needed a little bit more of a pep talk, you know. And she went up there, and she talked to her, and one thing that, you know, Haley said to me after she got, because I'm going to tell you guys, after she got up, she said, in her mind, as she was laying on the ground after she fell, because when you fall off that thing, it hurts, let me tell you. It's not a little fall, okay? You're talking like 20, 30 feet up there. She fell, she hit the ground, she said to herself, is this the best that I got? Is this the best that I got? You know, So she ended up, you know, backing up one more time. I'm about to trip over those things again. She ended up backing up one more time, and says that she ran all the way up. She stretched her arm, and I had switched with someone else who was taller than me. And the guy grabbed her, and as she's hanging on, she's trying to climb. She's pushing with her feet. You know, she's trying to do what she can do. And then it got to a point where we were just struggling. There was no movement happening. And I looked her straight in the eyes as we're trying to pull her up, and she's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I have to let go. I'm slipping through. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you're not going to do this again, because next time you do it, you won't get this high again. But I understand that you've made it this far already. So guess what? We're not going to let you fall. So I remember she was slipping through the guy's hand. I remember I stretched my arm. I grabbed her by the elbow, and we started pulling even harder. Can I tell you, sometimes you're reaching out to God, and you feel like, God, I can't do this anymore. And God says, I know you've done all that you can do. You've come to the end of yourself. It's my time now, because I'm not going to let you go. When you let go of God, God does not let go of you. He keeps pulling you through. And guess what? You stand up there, and you say, I did the best that I could do, and that is why where I am today. God came through for me. He saw what I could do, and I saw what only he can do as well. We got to reach, church. We got to reach. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." This is your true and proper worship. Some of you guys are like, "I got to church, I don't need to sacrifice absolutely anything because Jesus already did it." Do you understand? Our sacrifice is a response to his sacrifice. It's not because we need him. Like I live from grace, not for grace. Do you understand what that means? I live because Jesus died for me and he did all that he needed to do already. That is why I worship. That is why I sacrifice, because of his sacrifice. I'm not trying to get anything else other than what he already gave me. Amen. That's all that we need. And you know what? There's different ways of reaching. I'm not going to get into everything, but there's, you know, you can pray and cry out to God. And some of you guys overcomplicate prayer. Do you talk to a friend? Do you talk to a parent? Do you talk to your kids? You can talk to God and you can pray. Let's not overcomplicate this thing. You can worship out to God. And you know what? Pastor Chad said something so important yesterday. Thanking God ahead of the miracle. Or last week, thanking God ahead of the miracle. Some of us, we need to start worshiping ahead of the miracle as well. Because some of y'all, you've been praying for so many people to walk through the doors of this church. What if one day you're worshiping and they were just standing right next to you? How will you worship then? How will you worship if that parent that you've been believing that they're going to get to know God all of a sudden walks in through the church and gives their lives to God, raises their hand at the end of the service? How will you worship then, church? How would you worship if your kid or your friend or your cousin, the one that got diagnosed with that deadly disease, if they give you a call and they say, "You are not going to believe," and you better say, "I do believe it, because I have a God that is good. I have a God that still does miracles. I do believe what you're going to tell me. I am healed in Jesus' name." How would you worship then? How would you reach then? And obviously, we've talked about fasting. Pastor Chad did an amazing series on it. Fasting leads to you focusing and putting God in his place and your problems on their place. Amen? Number three, because I'm running out of time. Am I claiming? It says in verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'Jesus, everybody touched me. What are you talking about?'" That's not what they said. Something like that in today's message version. "Who touched my clothes?" he said. But his disciples said, "Jesus, everyone is touching you. You see the multitudes thronging you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. You know what amazes me about this? That Jesus knew who it was already. Jesus knew who he had healed. He was God. He knew who had touched him already. So why did he ask the question, "Who touched me?" You guys ever wonder this? Why did he ask that question if he knew already who it was? See, this is my humble opinion. I believe that this woman was not fully healed until she claimed her miracle. I believe she wasn't fully healed until she claimed her miracle. Why do I say this? Because we read back to the scripture and it says that immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed. It doesn't say that she was healed. It says that she felt in her body that she was healed. There's a difference between reading the Word of God and believing the Word of God. And I'm getting to this in a second. There's a difference between reading the Word of God and believing the Word of God. Because we might feel something on a Sunday morning, right? I'm a very energetic preacher, as you guys can tell, right? And you might get in here and you're like, "Oh, yeah, I'm ready to take on the world. Yeah, let's sweep those things out of the rug." And Monday morning comes and you're still sweeping things inside of the rug. Why? Because you realize you were only excited. Your life was not changed. Come on, somebody. You're not saying, listen, there's a difference between reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and actually processing the Word of God and applying it into your life. That's good. Yeah, that's good. But how are you going to put that into your life? That's when that word becomes good. How do you apply it into your life? When you truly believe it and apply it, it changes everything. You don't just feel it. You know it with your heart and your soul. Amen. You know, one of the things that amazes me in church in general is just, and I know this church is not like that, because you know what? We love to encourage preachers, amen. We love to just be there for them and pray for them and encourage them during the message. But I've seen a lot of churches where they're just dead silent. And you know, we say, when I get up here sometimes and I say, you guys need to say amen, and, you know, tell me that you get what I'm saying, you know, and Pastor Chad says the same thing. But you know what? It's not just because we need you guys to encourage us, believe us, because we're still going to preach the word of God regardless. Okay, but when we tell you say amen, we're telling you claim that word for yourself. When we say God did not mean for you to live that life, God wants to heal you, God wants to free you of those things, and you're like, why do we say amen? Because we want you to say, yes, God does want to free me. God does want to take those things away. God does have better for me. And I'm going to claim that word for myself, for my family, for my kids, for that friend. Because you might say it's not for you. You might be like, I'm already in church. I already swept things out. But then you have a friend who you know is struggling with something. Claim that word for them. My gosh, sometimes I get up here and I'm singing, I'm worshiping, and I see you guys' face, and I know that you might not be going through something yourself. You might be crying for your brother, your sister, your mother, or your father, or your kids. My gosh, claim that word for them. Grab that word for them. And when you're around them, guess what? That word is going to come alive. When you get around them, they're going to see there's something different. There's something in you that I know I need. And you just preach that word to them then, amen? We need to grab every word of encouragement and speak it over ourselves. And my last point, am I faith filled? It says in verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. It was her faith that healed her. God healed her because of her faith. Because of her faith. Some of us, we've lost our faith. We lost our hope. Things didn't change. Things didn't happen the way that we thought they were going to happen. God, I was praying for that and you gave me this. That's not what I asked for. And God's saying, yeah, but that's what you needed. Hello? That's what you needed. God, I was praying for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but you gave me a job instead. Yes, because that's what you needed. That is what you needed. Okay. Things didn't change and we have literally given up, but we've accepted the way that things just are. You know, and the enemy will use even other people to discourage you as well. As a matter of fact, the enemy will use the people you love to discourage you as well. The people you thought were for you all of a sudden have turned against you. You guys, this is going to sink in, believe me. The enemy is going to turn people against you. I'm sure people were trying to stop this woman. In fact, it says that she was trying to push her way through the crowd. Why? Because people were saying, God's never going to do anything. Jesus won't do anything for you. Who do you think you are? You're unclean. You're not even supposed to be here. People might be saying to you, you know what? You're never going to change. Your dad was that way. You're going to be the same way. You're never going to change. You thought you would, but you're not. You're never going to get out of your financial situation. Because why? Because everybody around you is the same way. You're going to be one of us. You're just another statistic. Church, can I tell you, God did not create statistics. God did not create statistics. Jesus came to break religion, to break the statistics, to make a difference in our lives. You're not just a statistic. So don't speak those things over. Don't allow people to push you down, to keep you back. Keep reaching for God. It's going to get harder the closer you get, believe me, because everyone's trying to get to him, but everyone's trying to get to him in a different way. This is what I'm trying to say by that. Oh, man. Because everybody knows there's a God, but not everybody believes in God. Some people consider themselves to be God. Some people consider their wives to be God, their husbands to be God, money to be God. Everybody's running towards something that's bigger than themselves in their mind. But you got to stick true to yourself and continue to push forward and continue to reach for God, knowing that this is your miracle. Can I tell you, church, your relationship with God is individual. Stop depending on other people for your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is individual. Your miracle has your name on it. Not your friend, not your buddy, not your brother, not your sister, your name on it. So why are you allowing them to take the miracle away from you? It depends on you, right? You don't have to know the way, but you have to know the one that makes the way. You know what's amazing is that this woman reached for the garment and she was healed. You have more access than that. You have access to the Father. Why? Because the veil was torn. So when you're going through something, you don't need to wait for a pastor to pray for you. You don't need to wait for a friend who's a Christian to pray for you. You can pray for it yourself. You can speak to God yourself. And guess what? He hears you and he wants to help you. He wants to help you. I just want to finish with this, guys. And I hope that this really encourages you, and I hope that it challenges you. But it comes down to this. It comes down to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. You know, I have this Bible up here. Some of you guys, you have a Bible and you didn't open it. I'm about to open it right now, okay? Calm down. I have this Bible up here that my parents actually gave to me back in December of 2012. When I was running away from God as fast as I could. And I thought that I could do it on my own. And I thought that I had it all figured out. And I was like, I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. All I need is myself and my hard work and my dedication. Right? Because that's what the world tells you. You can do whatever you set your mind to. And it says that my parents, they wrote something really nice in here that I want to read to you guys. This is Marco. This is in Spanish, so I'm trying to translate it. Give me a break. Marco, I give thanks to God because he allowed me to be, this is my mom actually, he allowed me to be your mom. I try my best to guide you, and I hope that his words become your foundation. When I'm not here anymore, I hope that this book guides you. Read it, listen to it, and live it. God bless you. I love you so much. And the reason I tell you guys this is because I remember I was thinking about this week, and I called my mom, and I said, Mom, quick question, random question. All the years that you prayed for me, all the years that you cried for me, that you believed in me, that you encouraged me, all the years, and I'm talking to the parents right now too, all the years that you did all this for me, I said, was it worth it? Was it worth it? And she said, every single second. And guess what? I would do it all over again. And I tell you this story, guys, because that's exactly what Jesus is saying to you today. All the times that you walked away from me, all the times you denied me, it was worth it. All the times that you thought you didn't need me, all the times you thought you could do it on your own, all the whips that I got, the rejection that I received, the ridicule, the spit, all those things were worth it for this very moment.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.